You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. $297 billion. That's how much California has to work with in its state budget. Governor Newsom kicked off the annual Balancing Act with a list of his financial priorities. But this year comes with a new challenge, less money to work with. After record surplus years, California is projecting a deficit to the tune of $22 billion. Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon joins us now with more on the governor's plan to hold on to investing in the state's future while facing a shortfall. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
So the big headline from this state budget is that projected $22 billion deficit. It isn't necessarily a surprise. The Legislative Analyst's Office projected it last fall, I believe in November. But it also may be hard for people to understand how we as a state go from a record near $100 billion surplus just 6 months ago, followed by a projected deficit in the tens of billions of dollars. So help us visualize this dramatic 180.
Yeah, like you said, this isn't really a huge surprise. We actually saw the first warning signs of this back around August last year. And this really just illustrates the state's tax system and how that works and how volatile it can be. We are highly reliant on high income earners and the stock market. A spokesperson for the State Department of Finance told me that last year about 49% of state revenues came from the top 1% of earners. So, you know, that explains why we had these enormous surpluses over the past 2 years. They did really well during the pandemic, brought in a lot of money. That money gets taxed. Those capital gains from the stock market get taxed, and California benefits from that. When they do not so well, which we've seen in the past, you know, 6 months or so with everything going on in Ukraine, the tech sector is kind of, wobbly right now. We see that, too. So state revenue is projected to be right now about $29.5 billion lower this year than it was last year. And so that results in, this projected deficit.
You know, there still is a good amount of money to work with, though. Where does $297 billion in spending stack up to previous budget years?
Yeah, so it's smaller than the budget approved last year, which had a huge surplus. But, you know, looking back 4 or 5 years ago, $297 billion in spending is still about $90 billion more than the first state budget Newsom signed in 2019. So it's still an enormous amount of money.
Yeah, and that's not that long ago, just this 3 years ago or 4 years ago. The key word here in all of this, though, is projected. In 2020, during the pandemic, the state projected a deficit due to the pandemic shutdown. But that didn't necessarily materialize. It didn't necessarily happen. So could this be another case of getting it wrong?
I think that's less likely. What happened in the pandemic was, you know, it came out of nowhere. The shutdowns and the impacts from that and the state. Yes, the state filled like a $54 billion deficit in 2020. They came back later and said that that was an overcorrection. I think there's still, you know, there still was lost revenue, but the bounce back from that, of course, with the enormous surpluses in the following years. But, you know, like I said, we've been seeing warning signs of this. State revenues have been coming in below expected for several months now. So I wouldn't, you know, of course, the economy is always uncertain. You never want to, you know, predict with a certainty what will happen. But
with all forecasts,
yeah,
whether economic or not.
These rain.
Yes, exactly. This is also a new financial position the governor and state lawmakers are in, right? Because they had back-to-back, you know, really, really healthy and even record surplus years. How do you think this is ultimately going to shape their priorities and even perhaps reevaluating programs and services that they want to invest in?
I think that is definitely what we'll be watching in the coming months. This is still very early. The budget is not due for 5 or 6 more months. In May, when the state has a better idea of where state revenues are heading, because people have filed their income taxes, that's when the governor comes back with sort of a sharpened pencil, more fleshed out ideas about what the picture is going to be and how to address it, what to spend and what to cut if needed. So to address this shortfall, Newsom is proposing some cuts. He's also proposing a lot of deferred spending. So kind of just pausing things that were planned to take effect or spend money on and then shifting some money around. So instead of something being paid for out of the general fund, maybe a finding a different pot of money to pay for that.
How do you think this will be felt most by everyday Californians?
At this point, I'm not sure it will be, unless you're out there and planning on getting another like stimulus or rebate check, which we've seen several rounds of in the past 3 years. I wouldn't hold my breath on getting one of those this year. But school funding is projected to be a tiny bit lower this year. But because of declining student enrollment, per student spending would actually increase under this spending plan to a record high. And Newsom is proposing an 8.1% cost of living adjustment for most public school employees, and I believe that is constitutionally required.
So you mentioned that there will be some delays in funding or perhaps some reshuffling, but there are also going to be some cuts. So getting into the specifics, where does the governor want to scale back?
You know, looking at the budget, and it's so weird what's about to come out of my mouth. It's a little here and a little there. So, you know, he's got, for example, like $1 billion that he wants to spend on a program. He's like, well, let's cut $100 million there. So in the long run, it's not a ton, but it's just like a little bit of cuts here and there. He does have about almost $4 billion in trigger cuts proposed. So if the financial picture improves when he comes back in May, then those would not take effect or not be passed in the budget. But those are mostly for climate programs and transportation programs, about $1 billion for electric vehicle infrastructure, which he said is a big priority for him. And I've heard from climate and environmental advocates that they're not too happy with those cuts. But again, this is kind of a first proposal and not final.
So this is like a delicate balancing act with the budget with, you know, $22 billion shortfall. Are they forecasting or preparing for potentially a recession in the near future?
This budget does not is not planned for a recession. So they're not planning on that now. He's not dipping into the rainy day fund, for example. So if things worsen and we are officially in a recession, I think we might see that. The Legislative Analyst's Office and the Department of Finance have both said, like, don't touch the rainy day fund unless and until we're in a recession. Yeah, I think that might be tempting for some lawmakers. You know, we have like $35 billion in budget reserves sitting there, and we've got this budget deficit that could, you know, it could be helped by that. So I think, you know, we'll see in the coming months. It is a negotiation.
You know, you talked about public education. You talked about climate. What about homelessness? The governor has devoted billions and billions and billions of dollars to this crisis since he's been governor.
So this is, I think, a big theme of his budget is there is a shortfall. He's put forth his plan to fill that shortfall, but he's not making cuts to many of these priorities of his. Now, climate is sort of the one thing that could see cuts, but homelessness, he's proposing actually $1 billion in new spending. He very heavily emphasized yesterday accountability from local governments. He said, we are not going to just be handing out $1 billion. He talked about maybe even legislation to tie that money to how states do with following, you know, the housing laws and building enough housing and doing enough here. It's been like a very tense tug of war between the state and local governments. But, you know, this is a priority for him. And I think, you know, he's entering his second term. People really want to see results on homelessness and the number of encampments out there.
Another huge commitment he also made was to health care. Are there going to be any consequences financially to the investments he wants to make in healthcare?
I think the public, the budget he's proposed would give less money to public health, I believe. But again, he's these big promises he's made, he plans to follow through on those. He talked about his push to expand Medi-Cal coverage to undocumented workers. He's following through on that, not pausing that, not delaying that in any way, said that that's a huge priority for him that he campaigned on and he plans to follow through on that.
You touched upon the rainy day fund, the reserve funding. How does money get put into the rainy day fund?
In 2014, voters passed Proposition 2 that requires a certain amount of revenue deposited into the rainy day fund every year from capital gains taxes and another pot of money. And there are also rules about how much can be withdrawn at any given time. I think in 2020, we were talking about whether I think they did withdraw from the rainy day fund in 2020. But, you know, that's since been put back and more.
You know, this has been what, like less than 24 hours since you, you know, went through and listened to, you know, the governor's initial state budget and what he would like for this fiscal year. What kind of response are you hearing from lawmakers, particularly Republicans who are a minority in the state legislature?
Yeah. I mean, overall, lawmakers that align politically with Newsom, Democratic lawmakers, say this is a good starting point. They talk about the response, you know, how they've been responsible and filled that rainy day fund in recent years. Republicans, I think, want to see a lot more accountability and oversight with spending. They're still talking about the gas tax and gas prices and suspending the gas tax. So we may see a bit more push on that this year, although there was a big fight over that last year, and they did not get what they want. And they also are talking about affordability. The governor hit on that a bit yesterday, but for Republicans, this is a really big issue for them that they'll continue to hammer.
And yesterday, Nicole, was really like a first inning in the state's budget process. There's a long way to go. The governor outlined his financial priorities. Remind us of the next steps over the coming months before this budget is cemented into law.
Yeah, we talked about in May, the governor will come back with a revised budget plan and a better idea of what the finances look like. Lawmakers have to pass a budget bill by June 15th or else they don't get paid. There are ways around that. Sometimes they pass something that they end up changing a week later. And then the governor's deadline to sign the budget is June 30th because the new fiscal year begins on July 1st.
All right, let's switch gears a bit because it has just been a busy and eventful first days into the governor's second term. Newsom's inauguration was on Friday, and there was a March for Democracy to the state capitol on January 6th, 2 years marking the attack on our nation's capital. So aside from the lack of subtlety, what stood out to you about the tone and the message the governor is really setting for his second term?
Yeah, you've seen him in recent months really contrast California and his own agenda with that Republicans, what Republicans are doing in other states. He's gone after Ron DeSantis in Florida, Greg Abbott in Texas. I think that we'll continue to see that rivalry play out during his second term, especially if Ron DeSantis runs for president, as many Republicans are wanting him to do. Newsom sort of carved out this place for himself where he says he's not running for president. It looks like Joe Biden will probably run for re-election next year. Newsom said he wants to complete all 4 years of his term, but he is raising his profile nationally and sort of like carving out a place where he can wait in the wings if necessary. So, you know, we heard him talk about January 6th and Republicans and how California is a true freedom state. I put that in air quotes because it's something he's repeated a lot over the past few months.
When he was giving his speech, do you think he was talking just to Californians or to a national stage?
Oh, I think he was absolutely talking to a national stage.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
You're welcome.
That is Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're going to stay on California's state budget with a more critical perspective. Wayne Weingarten is a senior fellow in business and economics with the Pacific Research Institute, a think tank based in Southern California that champions free market policy solutions. Wayne, good morning. Thanks for making the time.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you see a lot of issues with the way California's overwhelmingly, you know, Democrat elected leaders prioritize spending. And I imagine that could extend to this current state budget that was outlined by the governor yesterday. But before we dive into specifics, let's go big picture. You have a PhD in economics. What excites you about California's economy?
Well, you know, historically, California, I mean, it is the epitome of the American dream. I mean, we have some of the best universities in the world here. We've got Silicon Valley. We've got finance in San Francisco. So we have the best climate in the country, rain notwithstanding. So, I mean, there's so much going for this state. There's a lot of reasons why we're the fifth largest economy in the world.
California's current state budget, as I just discussed with Nicole, stands at nearly $300 billion. It comes with a projected $22 billion deficit. But this is a projection. It's a forecast. What goes into these budget forecasts, which involves, I would imagine, some degree of uncertainty?
It is a lot of uncertainty, especially when you're talking about the revenues. I mean, what goes into it is, you know, we have our past spending. We have our guesses on where the economy is going. So we have a sense of where revenues are going. And so we look at kind of those trends, look at, you know, how are the revenues growing? What's the spending we want to do? And how do we kind of match that up so we can get to kind of the balanced budget that reflects the priorities of what the governor and legislature want to implement?
When it comes to this state budget, what's the big message that you get from the governor's budget proposal, which will go through rounds of negotiations and revisions over the course of 6 months before lawmakers pass the bill and it's signed into law?
I think there are some good things in the budget in that he's taking some prudent steps. He's, you know, continuing to fund pensions, which needs to be done to make sure we don't kick that can down the road. There are some spending reductions. So, you know, all of that is, I think, very good. Just the problem is it's not enough for the moment. It's not making enough tough choices, given one, kind of the current state of the budget. But two, I think it's really important to recognize that if you look back at all of our past kind of volatility, which you were talking about earlier, rarely is it a one-year event. These things typically last multiple years. And so we're really at the beginning of what looks like it's going to be a very difficult budget over the next 2-3 years, perhaps. And so we really need to get ahead of it as quickly as possible so that we can kind of minimize the pain going forward.
If you had a red pen and you could line item veto some of the spending in the budget, what cuts would you make to balance the budget?
I think the most important thing I would do at the beginning is stop equating the volume of spending with outcomes. So we know we have a huge homeless issue, and we're spending under $10 billion on a program that isn't actually addressing the problem. And it's actually, we're getting more and more homeless as we're spending more and more money. So I think we need to actually take a step back and start looking at what programs are working, what programs aren't working, and start reallocating so that we focus on outcomes, focus on the quality of the spending, not focus on the quantity of spending.
Hmm. You know, another huge commitment of the governor comes to climate, and the budget proposal cuts about $6 billion from climate change-related programs. Do you think that's a good starting place?
It's a good start, but there's a lot more cuts that we need to do simply because, again, going with global climate change is a problem. It's something that needs to be addressed. But we're spending $44 billion next year on programs that aren't actually going to change the direction of things. So that becomes wasteful. There's ways that we could actually spend less, but do things that are much more effective. There are deregulations that we could do that would help kind of address the problems that we're dealing with without spending money. So help us get the budget lower. You have to remember that total spending over the last 10 years have been growing, depending on which fund you're talking about, double of what our income has been growing. So that we're spending, if you think about it in terms of family finances, we're spending, our growth in our spending is outpacing the income that, you know, the family is bringing in. And I think when you think about it in that term, you know that the family is going to go into bankruptcy if they continue to spend more than the income that they're bringing in. And that's what we've been doing over the past 10 years. Talking about spending, depending on the fund, between 6-9% growth a year, where our income has been growing 5% a year. That's not sustainable. And so when you look at the volume of amount of spending that we have, that's unaffordable. And then when you look at the outcomes, we're not actually achieving that the important goals that we need to achieve. So I think that perspective is what we need to bring into the budget negotiations. And we need to stop doing the games. So we talked about earlier that we're doing some fund shifting, we're doing delayed spending. All of that's doing is that's pushing a problem that we have today to tomorrow in these hopes that the budget will be better tomorrow, but it won't be. If you look at the historical experience, next year is going to be a difficult budget year as well. Tax revenues are not going to come back strong. And so we need to actually start getting ahead of the problem today. So I think those would be the themes that I would push. And then a lot of it is just the politics. What do we want to prioritize?
You mentioned $44 billion in commitments. Did you mean multi-year commitments or just within the next year? Because It's multi-year, correct? Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
correct.
Great. You know, California isn't in a vacuum financially or economically. I mean, we're the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world. You know, we have inflation, the war in Ukraine, as Nicole was talking about, also the stock market are very much tied to our economy here in California. Can you get specific on the impact each is having on our economy, which has ripple effects into the state budget that we have?
Yes. I mean, if you look at the current state of the economy, we're teetering on a very bad economy. Are we going to fall into a recession? That's you know, one of the things we really don't know, but we do know that it's going to be difficult. And that's something that the World Bank, when they came out with their global forecast just today, I believe, where they were saying that globally, growth is going to be down about half and may even go negative, which is something very rare that we've had a global recession twice in the same decade. The U.S. is not immune from that, and California is not immune from that. Now, one of the things we're seeing in this kind of current economic cycle is that services and particularly technology is really taking it on the chin. We've seen a lot of layoffs in the tech sector, Silicon Valley. Many of our kind of big economic champions in the area are laying off workers. And so the service economy and the tech economy are at the center of the economic storm. And that's actually one of the kind of main drivers of the California economy. So when you look at kind of the structure of this recession, California is not set up well just based on where the recession is happening. You look at the stock market, and that's obviously incredibly difficult to predict, but that's been doing very poorly. There's not signs that we've gotten through the current bear market. And again, when we have our progressive tax system that relies so heavily on the stock market, capital gains, the top 1% for half of our total tax revenues, we're going to then not see that income come into the state for several years. So the slow national stock market is a huge drag on the California economy. The current recession is going to hit the California economy hard. And these are the things that we need to prepare for. And we need to actually, a prudent cycle is going to look at those worst outcomes and be prepared for those, as opposed to what this current budget said is we're not going, this is not predicated on us being in a recession. And there's a little bit of just hopeful budgeting in that, as opposed to preparing for, how bad things could become.
You said current recession. Would you say we're in a recession now?
That may have been a Freudian slip. I do worry that we're in a recession now. There are many forecasters that are expecting a decline in GDP in the first quarter. I worry about that. I think we had a bit of a uptick in the fourth quarter. And so I'm worried that right now the economy is fallen into a recession that has not been declared. So I think that was a bit of a Freudian slip there. When I say the current recession.
I understand. You know, as we touched on in the very beginning, how forecasts come with uncertainty. What are the big economic unknowns for California this year?
I think one of the biggest is the tech sector. How bad is this recession going to be? How many more layoffs are we going to experience? That's one big uncertainty. The other big uncertainty is global trade. Right. We're, major ports. I mean, trade is a very important part of the California economy. One of the things the World Bank was worried about is a continual decline in trade. And that's something I worry about as well. That's going to hit California's economy. So that is a large negative. And then just the broader kind of U.S. kind of growth path that, all of those things are going to continue to create headwinds. Obviously, the war in Ukraine, the more that persists, that's going to impact fuel costs, that's going to impact energy costs, fuel and energy are two areas that Californians are particularly vulnerable to because of the regulatory structures that we've set, because of the kind of the mandates. When prices go up for gas nationally, they go up even more extreme here in California. So the war in Ukraine, the pressure on energy prices are a huge headwind for California that we would feel to a much larger extent than the rest of the country. So that's another headwind that we really need to be careful about in our state.
Finally, Wayne, you mentioned that we're in for a pretty rough state budget cycles for the next few years. Let's just go a year from now. What do you think the biggest concern for California's economy will be?
I think the biggest concern for the state budget is going to be tax revenues. I think we're going to continue to see a decline, at least, or certainly flat revenues to this year, and that's going to continue to create stress on kind of the revenues for the state government. I think that is kind of the number one thing that we should be worried about and planning toward. You know, if we get a surprise to the upside, that's fantastic, but if the economy continues to be weak, if income and capital gains aren't there, what will the budget look like? And then how do we budget to this fact that revenues are going to be constrained compared to where they were, with the understanding, I think, and you talked about this earlier, that our total revenues and our total spending is way up over the past 10 years. So a little belt tightening, while compared to last year, seems difficult. When you kind of take into the long-term perspective, we're still spending a lot more. There's a lot there that we can reduce and still kind of meet those important public services that the state's trying to get to. So I think there's absolutely room to tighten our belts, to spend the money more effectively, to achieve the public outcomes that we want, but to save money. I mean, and all of that's possible, but we need to prioritize and we need to make hard decisions.
Wayne, thank you so much for the time.
Well, thanks so much.
Wayne Weingarten is a senior fellow in business and economics with the Pacific Research Institute. Still ahead, we'll learn about a unique tasting room in the charming town of Winners in Yolo County, born from the pandemic, developed on Zoom, and now winning major awards. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.